ever sent a price quote, and then like later on wondered, huh, could this thing actually like send me to court?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what happened way back in 1895.
Wow.
In the case Fairmount Glassworks v. Crunden Martin Woodenware Co.'s. And get this, this case is still like shaping how we look at contracts even today.
You know, it's fascinating how a case from the 1800s
Yeah.
can still have so much relevance for modern contract law.
Right.
It really highlights the importance of, you know,
Yeah.
clear communication in
Oh,
business.
absolutely. Especially when we're talking about money, right?
Especially when you're talking about, you know, price quotes and offers and all
That's
that.
sure, for sure.
Yeah.
So let's like set the stage here, right? We've got Fairmount Glassworks, they make glass jars.
Okay.
And then we have Crunden Martin Woodenware Co., the buyer.
Okay.
Now, Crunden Martin, they needed a lot of mason jars.
Oh,
Like, we're talking 10 carloads worth.
wow, that's a lot of jars.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So they write to Fairmount asking for their best price. And they were pretty specific about what they needed. They laid out quantities, terms, all that good
They're
stuff.
serious.
They were serious.
Yeah.
And so Fairmount sends back a quote.
Okay.
And it was pretty detailed.
Right.
It had prices for different jar sizes, payment terms, shipment deadlines, and then it had this little phrase in there for immediate acceptance.
Interesting.
It seemed pretty standard at the time, you know?
Yeah, I mean, at first glance, it does.
Right.
Yeah.
So Crunden Martin, they see this quote, they see for immediate acceptance, and they're like, we're in. Let's do this thing.
Yeah, makes sense.
They fire off a telegram to accept the offer. And they followed up with, you know, the specific jar sizes that they wanted.
Oh, okay.
Everything seemed good. They thought they had a deal.
Right.
And then Fairmount's like, sorry, just kidding. We're actually sold out. Sorry, no jars for you.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they refused to fulfill the order.
So what happened next?
Well, Crunden Martin felt like a little betrayed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet.
And so they did what any reasonable business would do. They sued Fairmount for breach of contract.
Oh, wow. So it went to court.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. So, what was their main argument? I mean, how could they say that a simple price quote was a binding contract?
Well, their argument hinged on that quote, and especially on that phrase for immediate acceptance.
Ah, I see. They claimed that with that language, it was a legally binding offer, not just, you know, a starting point.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense.
So now the court has this big question to figure out. Was this price quote just like an invitation to chat about a possible deal, or was it a real official offer that they legally had to stick to?
Yeah, that's a tricky one.
It is, right?
Yeah.
And that's where things get really interesting, because to figure this out, they had to use something called the objective theory of contracts.
Okay, I've heard of that, but remind me how that works again. So basically, this theory says that it doesn't matter what Fairmount was thinking in their heads, you know, like what they intended to do. What matters is how a reasonable person looking at this whole situation from the outside would interpret their words and actions.
So, like, if you were just a regular person reading that quote, would you think it was a real offer?
Exactly. It's not about secret intentions. It's about what they actually communicated.
That's interesting. So the court had to step into the shoes of a reasonable business person
Right.
and decide, would I see this as a binding offer or just a casual conversation starter?
Exactly.
So what did they decide? Did they think it was an offer?
Well, the Kentucky Court of Appeals, they ultimately sided with Crunden Martin.
Oh, wow. Really? So they said that quote was a real offer.
Yeah. And there are four big reasons why they ruled that way. And these reasons are super important for anyone who works with contracts, you know?
Okay, let's hear it. I'm all ears.
All right, let's break it down.
Okay. Well, the first reason was how specific Crunden Martin was in their initial request. Remember, they didn't just like send a vague email saying, hey, how much for some jars?
Right, they were very detailed.
Yeah, they were very detailed. They said exactly what they needed, like they had done their homework. And that showed the court that they were serious about buying.
Okay, that makes sense. What about that phrase for immediate acceptance?
Right. That's the second big reason. The court really focused on that phrase.
Yeah, it does make it sound pretty official, doesn't it?
Yeah. When you combine that with all the other details in the quote, like, you know, the deadlines and the payment terms, it starts to look less like a casual conversation and more like Fairmount was ready to make a deal.
Okay, so the specific request and that for immediate acceptance phrase were big red flags for the court.
Exactly.
What was the third reason?
Well, the third reason was how fast Crunden Martin responded. I mean, they didn't wait around.
Oh, right. They accepted right
The
away.
very next day.
Wow.
Yeah, so that quick response showed that they were serious too.
It does make it seem like they really thought they had a deal. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's three reasons. What was the fourth one that convinced the court?
All right, so the fourth reason was a little more about the details of the order.
Okay.
So Crendon Martin had asked for 10 carloads of jars, which sounds like a lot, right?
That's a ton of jars.
Yeah. But back then, it was actually considered a pretty normal amount for this type of business.
Oh, interesting.
And even though Crendon Martin later specified, you know, exactly which types of jars they wanted, the court didn't think that changed the basic agreement.
So it wasn't like they suddenly wanted a completely different product.
Right. It was more like they were just clarifying the details of what they had already agreed to.
Okay, so basically the court was like, fair amount, you made a deal with your words, and now you have to stick to it.
Exactly. That's a pretty powerful lesson for businesses.
Yeah, for sure. You got to be careful what you say and what you put in writing.
Absolutely. Even a seemingly harmless phrase can end up having big legal consequences.
So we've talked about how this 19th century case about mason jars is still important today. But why? What makes it relevant to lawyers and businesses in the 21st century?
Well, it serves as a reminder that we need to be super careful about how we communicate, especially in business.
Yeah, because a lot of business happens online now, right?
Exactly. These days, agreements might be made through emails or even text messages.
Right.
And it's really easy to forget that those informal exchanges can still be legally binding.
It's kind of scary.
It is. It's easy to get caught up in the speed of everything, you know? Like sending a quick email or a text and not really thinking about the legal side of things.
So what can businesses do to protect themselves? Like, how can they avoid ending up in a fair amount glass situation?
Well, one important thing is education.
Oh, okay. Like teaching people about contracts?
Exactly. Businesses should make sure their employees, especially the ones who deal with sales and purchasing, understand the basics of how contracts are formed.
So they know the difference between a quote and an offer.
Right. Because as we've seen, that line can be really blurry.
Yeah. It can be.
Another thing that can help is having clear procedures in place.
Like a system for handling quotes?
Yeah, exactly. Like a standardized process for how to respond to price inquiries and how to create quotes.
So that everything is reviewed carefully.
Exactly. That way you can avoid accidentally making an offer when you didn't mean to.
Okay, that makes sense. And what about disclaimers? Could those be helpful?
Oh, disclaimers are great.
Yeah.
I mean, putting clear language in your quotes that says things like, this is not an offer, or prices are subject to change, that can be a really good way to protect yourself.
So just being upfront and clear about what you're offering.
Exactly.
Okay, good to know. Any other practical tips for our listeners?
Well, documentation is key.
Oh, okay, like keeping records of everything.
Yeah, save all the emails, the texts, even the voicemails.
Wow.
If there's ever a dispute, you'll be glad you have that paper trail.
Like proof of what was said and agreed to. All of this really shows how complicated contract law can be.
It can be very nuanced.
Yeah, and that's why it's so important to get legal advice if you have any questions.
Absolutely. A good lawyer can help you understand all the ins and outs of contract law.
Right.
And they can help you create agreements that really protect your interests.
So let's shift gears a bit and talk about some real-world examples.
Okay.
Can you give us some situations where fair amount glass might come into play today?
Oh, absolutely. It's relevant in a lot of scenarios.
Yeah.
Like, imagine a contractor sends a detailed proposal for a construction project.
Okay.
With pricing and a timeline, and maybe even a note that says something like, please confirm by Friday to secure this rate. And then the client just replies, yes.
That sounds like it could be a contract.
Right. Especially if that proposal was really detailed and specific.
It would be hard to argue that they weren't accepting a clear offer.
Exactly.
What about another example?
Okay, so let's say an online retailer is having a sale and they have a big button that says click here to buy now. And a customer clicks the button, but then the retailer says, oh, sorry, we're actually out of stock.
Oh, that's frustrating.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
So could the customer argue that they had a contract?
Yeah, potentially. Based on fair amount glass, they might have a case.
Wow, that's interesting. Because we do so much shopping online now.
Right. And a lot of those transactions involve clicking buttons and agreeing to terms and conditions. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to forget that those actions can have legal consequences.
So fair amount glass is really about more than just price quotes.
Yeah, it's about the fundamental idea that when two parties agree on something, even informally, that agreement can be legally binding.
Even if it's just clicking a button or replying yes to an email.
Exactly.
That's a good reminder that contract law is part of our everyday lives.
It is.
It's not just about complicated legal documents.
Right. It's about how we communicate and interact with each other when we're doing business.
It seems like we should all learn from Fairmount Glass and really choose our words carefully.
Oh, definitely.
But it sounds like this case goes way beyond just price quotes and offers.
It does.
It impacts how courts look at intent in all kinds of contracts.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
So how has a case about mason jars from the 1800s had such a lasting impact? How do they use it today?
Well, Fairmount Glass, it shows us that courts don't always focus on the name you give something, like whether you call it a quote or a proposal or whatever. What's more important is the whole conversation, you know?
Right, like what was actually said and done.
Exactly. They look at the language that was used, the circumstances, all the actions of both parties to figure out if they really had a meeting of the minds, if both sides were truly on the same page.
So they're trying to see the big picture.
Exactly.
Not just get caught up in the wording of one little document.
Right. And this emphasis on context, it's even more important today, you know?
Yeah. Why is that?
Well, because so many agreements are made through emails and texts and online clicks these days.
Right. It can be hard to keep track of it all.
Yeah. And the lines can get pretty blurry, Fairmount Glass. It reminds us that even if you say, oh, I didn't mean to make a contract, it might not matter.
Oh, wow.
The court wants to see evidence. You know, they want to see through your actions and your words that a normal, reasonable person wouldn't have thought you were making a deal.
It's like they're saying, don't just tell me, show me.
Yeah, exactly.
Powerful stuff.
It really is. It makes you realize that even casual conversations can have big legal consequences.
So what's the one thing you want our listeners to take away from all of this?
I'd say it's this. Be clear.
Okay.
Be really clear about what you mean in your business dealings. When you send a price quote, when you're making a deal, even just discussing a potential transaction, be super clear about what you want and what you're willing to agree to.
So use clear language.
Yeah, use clear language.
Yeah.
Avoid ambiguity and always document everything.
Great advice.
And if you're ever unsure about something, talk to a lawyer.
Always a good idea.
They can help you with the finer points of contract law and make sure you're protected.
So we've spent this episode learning all about Fairmount Glassworks v. Crunden Martin Woodenware Co.
Mm-hmm.
A case about mason jars that still matters today.
It does.
It reminds us that contract law isn't stuck in the past.
Right. It changes and adapts to the time.
But the basic principles, they're still important.
Very important.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It was my pleasure.
And until next time, remember to keep those contracts airtight and be mindful of the power of your words.